Please stand.
As we are called to worship at this point, you have your responsive reading in your bulletin. I would direct you to that at this time. Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. On this day, Christ, the Lamb of God, gave himself into the hands of those who would slay him.
On this day, Christ gathered with his disciples in the upper room.
On this day, Christ took a towel and washed his disciples' feet, giving us an example that we should do unto others as he has done to us.
On this day, Christ our Lord gave us this holy feast, that we who eat this bread and drink this cup may proclaim his holy sacrifice and be partakers of his resurrection."
Please be seated. We come now to our time of confession. Again, please, in your bulletin, let's all respond collectively. Merciful God, we have not loved you with all our heart and mind and soul.
Lord, forgive us, for we know not what we do.
We have not loved our neighbors as you have taught us.
Lord, forgive us, for we know not what we do.
We are indifferent to the saving grace of your word and life. Forgive and heal us by your steadfast love. Make known to us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The debt of a broken law is called a penalty. So if the debt is canceled, it's obvious that the penalty must also be revoked. While the two are related, it is essential that we understand both aspects of forgiveness. Richard L. Strauss, pastor of the Emmanuel Faith Community Church in Escondido, California, put it this way. As we have seen on the Day of Atonement, one of the goats was killed as a sacrifice for the sins of the people. It pictured the punishment of a substitute. The goat's blood could not in and of itself pay for Israel's sin, but blood did have to be shed nevertheless. The penalty for sin is death, and the only death could satisfy that requirement. The death of that goat portrayed to the people of Israel that God Himself would suffer the penalty of their sin. That is exactly what Jesus Christ was doing on the cross. Isaiah predicted that He would be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, that the penalty of our sins would fall on Him. Peter described how it happened, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. He died for our sins, the just for the unjust. The basis for our eternal forgiveness is the blood of Jesus Christ, and nothing could be cleaner in Scripture. Jesus himself declared, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." Believers never again need to fear punishment from God. The penalty for our sins has been assessed and fully satisfied by God's Son. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No punishment. No penalty. No eternal judgment. The penalty has already been paid. The case is settled and will never come up for review. There is no possibility of appeal to any higher court. We as God's children are free from sin's penalty, free from all fear of punishment. He may lovingly discipline us to help us grow in Him, and so experience greater satisfaction and joy in living, but we never need to fear His retribution. In the Gospel of John, chapter 13, it was before the feast of the Passover when Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper, he laid aside his garments, and he girded himself with a towel. Then he poured out water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. When he had washed their feet and taken his garments and resumed his place, he said to them, and he says to us today, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you may also should do as I have done for you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Lori, near the cross. gather together at the Lord's table to memorialize the atoning death of Jesus Christ and to perpetuate the gospel of redeeming grace until His return. Jesus Himself instituted the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26, verses 26 to 30, in order that the believers in Him can celebrate His gift to us and acknowledge Christ's living presence in the act of worship. Since this is an intentional act of devotion and consecration, each of us should carefully examine our motives as well as our relationships with Christ and with one another. Start handing this out. For I received from the Lord what I have handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Al, would you lead us in prayer, please? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of him. In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Our Heavenly Fathers, we are here tonight reflecting upon those last days. As we try to imagine that long journey, that last night in the upper room, you and your disciples, that the agony that you were going to go through, the blood you were going to shed, your body that was broken all for us. We just ask that we look into our hearts with the one challenge that you gave us, and that was to believe and be a servant, meek and humble. We ask that you that we remember this blood that was shed for us so that we may be pure and clean.
Take and drink. Do this in remembrance of him until his glorious return. Bow with me as we pray. Each time we take communion, Lord, we want to recommit our lives, our hearts and our thoughts, our everything to you. Fill us today with your powerful Spirit. Help us to hold this fresh remembrance and the story that never grows old or closed in our hearts. Help us to share its message faithfully as you give opportunity with those who are lost and without hope. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
John chapter 18. Jesus went forth with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, procuring a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to befall him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek him, then these men go." This was to fulfill the word which he had spoken. "Of those whom thou gavest me, I lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slaves and the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which the Father has given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews seized Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas. For he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had given counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for all people.
As we turn in our hymnal to number 306, Alas and Did My Savior Bleed, each of the hymns that we will do throughout the rest of the service will just be the first verse. From the house of Caiaphas to the Perinthium. It was early, and they themselves did not enter the Perinthium so that they might not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man was not an evildoer, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." This was to fulfill the word with which Jesus had spoken to show by what death he was to die. Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you say this out of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to them. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have fought that I might not be handed over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Pilate said to him, "So, are you a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "Well, what is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no crime in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. Will you have me release for you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Please join in hymn number 314, "What Wondrous Love Is This?"
Call for Crucifixion, John chapter 19. Then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no crime in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no crime in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard these words, he was the more afraid. He entered the praetorium again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the power to release you and the power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin." Upon this, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king sets himself against Caesar."
Please join us as we sing hymn number 315, "Were You There?" Is crucified. When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the pavement, and in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he handed him over to be crucified. So they took Jesus and went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote a title and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. The chief priests of the Jews then said to Pilate, "Don't write 'King of the Jews,' but 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and made four parts, one for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was without seam, woven from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, "They parted my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did this, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Hymn number 116, 316.
It is finished. John chapter 19, verses 28 to 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A bowl full of vinegar stood there. So they put a sponge full of the vinegar on hyssop and held it up to his mouth. When Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
When I survey the wondrous cross, it was the last day of preparation in order to prevent the bodies from remaining on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, and the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Not a bone of him shall be broken. And again another scripture saying, "They shall look on him whom they have pierced." After this, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who had at first come to him by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds of weight. They took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb where no one had ever been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, as the tomb was closed at hand, they laid Jesus there.